Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And I know you're going to love this, Chris.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
You're going to love this.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The grittiest whisper I heard about the whole Rodgers-Packers thing. Of course he's coming back. Jordan Love ain't the guy.
He stinks.
After one start.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch, actor and producer Joe Manganiello. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. And the interesting thing about hour number two is it always on this program follows hour number one.
It's funny how it works.
Hey, I never knew that.
Just, you know, and just, you know, I'm just trying to pull back the lid on how the sausage gets made around here. In case you're wondering. I don't know why I just started the hour like that. It just popped in my head.
Just watering and fertilizing.
Is that sort of,
so rich? Might have
I have watered and fertilized today.
You have? Good to know.
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
I've only watered.
But it is chilly and kind of windy.
Thank you. It's been a while since chilly and kind of windy. Chris Finch is the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's going to join us top of hour number three, and that is when Joe Manganiello and his dog Bubbles will join us. And that's going to be great. I would suggest all of you who listen to the show, get to a television and see us on Peacock.
If you want to see a large man and a tiny
a
chihuahua.
A large man and a tiny chihuahua.
I mean, look at that thing. How cute is that?
As a matter of fact, that's what he's promoting. He's on his new Audible podcast, A Large Man and a Tiny Chihuahua.
That is a great podcast.
Large man.
No, sorry. It's about Sidney Crosby's rookie year. Created and written by Sidney Crosby, by the way.
Sid the Kid.
And narrated by Joe. So it'll be great. Talk some sports with Joe Manganiello when he joins us in studio, hour number three. You 844-204-RICH, number to dial. You know, I haven't spent enough time with this man. Spent an absurd amount of time with him over a 90-hour period on NFL Network, fresh back from the scouting combine. And let's talk about all that, certainly in light of the news of the day that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be on the quarterback market. Who will be? What does this mean for Jordan Love? And, of course, what we just saw at the scouting combine. Joining me here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is my buddy Daniel Jeremiah. How you doing, DJ?
I'm doing great, Rich. I got to tell you a quick story, which you appreciate.
Okay.
So you kind of have this long week, and then I'm home last night. I got delayed. I had to connect in Phoenix.
Oh,
so I was late getting out of Indy, so I got stuck in Phoenix for a while. So I didn't get home until like 5, but it's like 8 o'clock at night. And I get this weird – I'm like, you know what? I need a Q-tip. So I got to get a Q-tip to kind of clean out the ear. So I start – it's 8 o'clock. I start walking towards our master bedroom, and I see my daughter's bedroom who's off at college. And that bed was like something that just completely sucked me in that I could not make it down the rest of the hallway.
Yep.
8 o'clock, I flop on top of my daughter's bed. Next thing you know, it's 5:30 in the morning.
I hear you.
Like a light.
By the way, my flight landed at 8:40 in the morning. I was in this chair by 9 a.m. doing this show. I don't know how I got through yesterday because it's a lot, man. I know we're just sitting on our behinds just watching guys run around cones, technically. But it is a lot. There's just a lot going on, and you're so great at it, man. You make it easy for me and everybody else, and it's just awesome. It really was a blast.
It, it's a blast. It really is a blast, and you get to do it with you. And we would always joke on our walks back that we're trying to make each other laugh as we're going through these long days. Those are some of my favorite moments of the week.
They certainly are. Me too, man. Now that we're through it, a good 48 almost removed from the final drill. Who do you think's number one overall? What's the sense as you walk out of the combine? Who's going to be the first name read by Roger Goodell in Vegas coming up? What do you think?
I think we got a long ways to go, but just kind of what you hear and just kind of looking at it from the outside, I think it's pointing towards your guy Aiden Hutchinson being the first overall pick.
Really?
I think he's too clean. He's too safe. This is a Jaguar team that let's just say they haven't been rewarded for going outside the box in recent history. So I would think that just put this thing right in the fairway. That's Aiden Hutchinson. He's, it's insulting to say that he's kind of a high floor player, because I feel like you sell him short a little bit, that he can't be an elite player. I think he can be. So the makeup, the production, the height, weight, speed, I don't care. People look at the 40. Nobody cares about the 40 with the edge rushers. His 10 time was excellent. His 3-cone was, I think, the best of the entire group, which is all the stuff that translates to pass rush. So to me, you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. You need to get this one right. And I just think that Aiden Hutchinson is just, again, parking this thing right out in the middle of the fairway.
Well, that 3-cone drill, from what I heard, too, was similar to that of a slot receiver. That's how fast he is.
I think there were only like two or three receivers in this draft that had a better 3-cone time. So, yeah, that's pretty special.
And again, those are just 3-cones set up on the turf, and you run it around it a certain way, and you're timed, and that's how you can be measured for your explosiveness and things like that. Correct? That's just so you can make people understand.
Change of direction. Yeah, explosiveness. Mm-hmm. The 3-cone's really great for pass rushers because you see the explosiveness, you see the change of direction, and you see the ability to bend kind of when you come around that last cone. So those are pretty important characteristics of pass rushers. So, he was great there.
Well, I guess if I just got that one out of you, we could kind of mock it in a way. So if that happens, then the Lions would take who? Would that open the door for Kyle Hamilton, a safety to go to? Would they need a pass protector for whoever, if Goff or whoever they go long-term at that position? What would the Lions do it to? What would they do?
I would say offensive line would be out, Rich, just because they're in pretty good shape there, especially with Penei Sewell, who they took last year.
Right.
So I would cross the tackles off the list. You bring up Kyle Hamilton. People are split on that. How early do you take a safety?
Right.
I honestly think, and I think Kayvon Thibodeau comes into play there as an edge rusher. And we talked about it during the broadcast. Would not shock me at all if Trayvon Walker climbed all the way up to the second pick in this draft. I mean, he's just such a unique player. I mean, you don't see guys with that height, weight, speed combination with the fluidity that he showed. And, the knock on him, people said, the kind of had average sack production and you can't take a guy all the way up there. And then all you have to do is point to Jermaine Johnson, who was playing in that same Georgia defense, had 4 sacks. And then he goes to Florida State because he wanted to actually get on the field consistently, and he leads the ACC in sacks and has 12, and then he goes to the Senior Bowl and nobody could block him. So that Georgia defense, as we've talked about all week, was just absolutely stacked and loaded. And I think that's like a defensive line coach's dream to have that combination of skills that he possesses. So I think he enters the conversation right there at number 2, especially if Hutchinson goes 1.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you just mentioned that Trayvon Walker could go as high as 2. He was so terrific at the combine. And then you mentioned Kayvon Thibodeau could go there as well. Because I discussed yesterday what the conversation was coming out of Thibodeau's 40 and then nothing else, is that, he didn't hurt himself, but he also did not help himself. Like, there's a difference between you hurt yourself at the combine, but you also didn't help yourself. How did everything land, again, after all the dust is now settled, with Thibodeau not working out at the combine, into which he arrived with so many questions about his want to, motor, desire, based on his tape and everything else? Daniel?
Yeah, I think the issue isn't that he didn't do the field workout. I think if he came into the combine and did media and talked with teams and said, hey, here's the plan. As a bunch of guys before him and a bunch of guys after him will have said, which would be, you know, either I'm going to go out here, I'm just going to run the 40. I've been training for the 40. I'm going to run the 40 here. And then I want to go do the field workout at Oregon. And we've heard guys say it, Rich, right? I want to try and bring as many scouts as I can to Oregon because then they can get a chance to evaluate my teammates. It's a great opportunity for them. Or even if you didn't say that and just said, hey, this is my plan. I'm going to run the 40 and then I'm going to really hone in on the position drills at the pro day. Okay, cool. No problem. It's been done a million times. Nobody would bat an eye. But when you tell everybody in the media and with the teams that you plan on doing everything, and then you get out there and you run a 40 and then you stop and say, I'm done for the day. It was just kind of weird. And then the explanation, if his explanation would have been, hey, I just want to save everything for my pro day. Okay, I get it. You made a last second decision. No, you know, no big deal. But when he said, I want to do linebacker drills. Well, yeah, so does Trayvon Walker. And so did all these guys. And you get a chance to do all the linebacker drills, do the D line drills, and then you do the linebacker drills. So that the explanation was just kind of goofy. And then you kind of add into that just kind of coming into the process, you know, teams kind of have some concerns there. And I mentioned it just when you watch some of the games, you see him take some plays off. Now, it's not like he's not a dog, right? Somebody that just doesn't play hard all the time. Oh, he just there's some plays here or there, and that was just a little bit of a concern. So you come here, you do everything, you put that all to bed, and we move on, but he chose not to do that. So in a year where, you know, we're a little bit light at that position, and probably it wouldn't be, you know, a big deal either, but we're so stacked at that position, I think he gave up some room for those guys to leapfrog him.
And yet, though, you still think it's possible he could go 2 overall if Hutchinson goes 1 overall, and that's the way the dominoes tumble when all comes down to it?
No, I think that's entirely possible. So, I mean, this thing could all come out in the wash, and he's the second pick overall, and it was much ado about nothing. But I agree with the way you phrased it. He just kind of opened the door a little bit to give those other guys some room to jump him.
Or on the other hand, if it's apples to apples, as you and a bunch of other you know, evaluators like to say, where it's just like, okay, we want a pass rusher, and I can go with Trayvon Walker of Georgia or Kayvon Thibodeau of Oregon. This is the measurement or evaluation that could wind up with the Bulldog being selected, right? Like,
yeah,
that's the way it goes.
If you ask me right now,
yes.
What are we, March 8th?
Yes, sir.
If, in my opinion, do I think that Walker or Thibodeau will go first? I would tell you my opinion on March 8th is that Trayvon Walker will get picked ahead of Kayvon Thibodeau.
Okay. All right. The news of the day, Daniel, I don't know if you heard it because it was just recently announced. Aaron Rodgers is staying put in Green Bay 4 years, $200 million. Your thoughts on that subject?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen that. So I guess what happens, you drop the kids off at school. You miss the biggest NFL news of the season here. It's kind of what we originally thought. I think after the season ended and you heard Aaron's, you know, positivity towards everyone in the organization, both, you know, downstairs and upstairs, that it looked like it was headed towards that. And, you know, then I think there's that delay. So we sat there and entertained the idea of maybe this could happen. He could go somewhere else. But we were sitting up there in the booth talking about this, Rich, and just I couldn't imagine him playing for anybody else. I couldn't imagine as a general manager wanting it on your resume that you traded the reigning two-time MVP. So I think this is the most logical move for Aaron. And, man, I'm excited for the Packers fans because you look at the NFC, depending on whether our next topic of conversation, which after this I'm sure we're going to hit, if that gentleman were to stay away, the runway is pretty clear there in the NFC. I know you've got the defending Super Bowl champs in the Rams, but the Packers are right there at the top.
The $153 million of the $200 is guaranteed, Daniel, and this is just a remarkable moment. Certainly where we were after the night of the 2020 draft when the Packers traded up to get Jordan Love and Rodgers correctly assumed, as everyone else assumed, that 2022 would be the absolute come heck or high water moment. to wit, at which the Packers would turn to Jordan Love so they could actually see what they have in him, right? And that's why Rodgers gave them a freebie year of the 2020 season, and then really push came to shove for 2021 for him to come back, and then he came up in both of those seasons with MVP campaigns. And here we are with them now saying, I guess we'll just see Jordan Love in another spot, because that money means Love will have to go through his entire rookie contract without getting on the field, it seems. And unless of an injury, or as we saw with Rodgers with COVID. What do you think about what happens with Jordan Love now?
I would imagine he's somewhere else sooner than later. You know, there's a lot of teams looking for quarterbacks right now. I don't see what the purpose would be really to bring him back. Aaron's proven to be very durable. And there's, you know, the value, I think, with Jordan, the longer he goes without playing, is probably going to go down. So I would think this is the off season, and probably in the very, very near future that you'll see a move made there. But they're not going to get anywhere close to what they used to acquire him.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, hopefully Jordan Love goes somewhere, gets an opportunity to play, and ends up having a long, productive career as a starting quarterback. If not, he's going to be one of the more fascinating footnotes in NFL history that I would say he lit a fire under Aaron Rodgers and produced some of the best quarterback play we've ever seen in the history of this league.
Right. So, and his one game taking on the Chiefs, Daniel, did that affect anything, do you think, or what? Like, how can you evaluate Jordan Love at this point in time if you are thinking, you know what, let's give this kid a whirl? Like, we loved him coming out of the draft. Packers leapt in front of us to go get him, so on and so forth. Those are stories that could be told, or maybe even accurate. What do you think?
Well, I don't think you saw enough in that brief exposure to get super excited about him. So he came into the league as a, maybe not great phrasing there.
That's one way. By the way, you sound like Chris Greer when asked about Tua. Can he be a top-notch or elite quarterback? I mean, I can't say he can't. You know what I mean? Like, that's what that sounded like to me from Chris Greer last week, you know?
Yeah. No, I would say, if you're asking me right now what the market would be for Jordan Love, I would say you're probably hoping you could get a third-round pick. That would be probably your hope.
Mm-hmm. So before I let you go then, what does the quarterback class look like now coming out of the combine, do you think, in the draft, Daniel?
I think teams are all over the map in terms of the order. I think there's some, I thought Desmond Ridder really helped himself. I thought that Malik Willis was what we thought. He's got a huge arm. We'll get a chance to see him move around and run. You'll see how athletic he is once he gets to his pro day, which he's off the charts there. But still a project. And I thought Kenny Pickett, to me, entered as the top guy and had a really solid workout. That's kind of who he is. And I think you could, if you miss out on these veterans, I would think Kenny Pickett would kind of be the guy that you could hope could come in and play right away. The rest of this group, I think you're probably looking more of a developmental route. So some of them, at least one of them, maybe two or three will find their way into the first round. They'll force their way in there, Rich. But I don't think we see one go in the top 10 this year. I really don't.
So then who goes and gets them, right? Like, who goes and drafts these guys? Now that we know Rodgers is staying put, Russell Wilson is the we have no interest, is what Pete Carroll said, in trading them. Washington Commanders are apparently going YOLO, knocking on everybody's door, trying to see if they can get anybody. And the Seahawks reportedly rebuffed them. So you also think Kyler Murray's going nowhere too, right? That's your opinion on that?
Correct. I think the big-name veterans are staying put, except for the whole situation with Deshaun Watson. How that plays out is to be determined. But, I think this is going to cause teams to I think you might even have mentioned it on the show yesterday, Rich, that like guys like Mitchell Trubisky, they love the fact that the carousel has not started spinning, because now there's simply more seats than options available, which is going to really help his market.
Yeah, right. So, what do you think then? What's your best guess? And again, we'll have you back on and won't hold you to it. Your best guess, who, when it's all said and done, They're like, you know what? We're not going to go in the free agent market for Trubisky. We're not going to go try and acquire somebody coming off of surgery like Garoppolo or Winston, you know, through free agency. I mean, who do you think does go? Certainly the Colts are in a fascinating position. You know, we had Frank Reich sitting there, and it didn't sound like Wentz is going back there after he left the booth with us, Daniel. So who do you think in the draft is going to maybe use a first rounder and say, this is worth the risk right now? What do you think?
Well, I think the team that's fascinating to me is the team that's picking there at the very bottom of the first round. They're also picking with the second pick in the first round. That's the Detroit Lions. Like, this feels like a draft to me where it's, you know, we can use our high seconds to try and get back up into the first, or in the Lions' case, they happen to already have the 32nd overall pick. They get their cornerstone key player with their first selection. They come back and take a flyer on a Malik Willis or a Desmond Ridder or somebody like that at the bottom or at the top or the bottom of the first round for them. And then some of these other teams that might be in the market, maybe they try and slide back into the back of one to get guys. So that would be something to keep an eye on. I think the Broncos pick 40, somewhere around there in the second round, Rich.
Right.
You know, that could be a situation where, hey, you maybe try to come up to 31, get that extra year on the contract and take a flyer on, you know, on Kenny Pickett, if it's him or Sam Howell, whichever flavor you like there.
Certainly since the whole idea that Rodgers was coming there because he was going to leave Green Bay, that is now history. How about that, man? How about
you
that?
Went, I mean, I feel bad for Drew Lock. Can you imagine just the disappointment as a Broncos fan? I mean, you thought for a second, you gave yourself a glimmer of hope that the reigning MVP, still in his prime, was going to be your quarterback. No pressure, Drew.
All right. And then I guess one last one, just to circle back, Daniel, before I let you go. Kyler Murray, why do you think he's not going anywhere? How do you come up with that based on everything coming out of the combine and certainly going into it? Why do you think that?
Well, I think Kyler's definitely frustrated and wants a new deal. I think they're going to try and exert some leverage, and if they don't get a new deal, I anticipate they're probably going to ask to be traded. And there's absolutely no reason for the Arizona Cardinals to do that. And however frustrated you are with the way his play maybe tailed off the last 2 years, he's extremely gifted, and you have no shot of upgrading that position. So that's the case. He's got really no leverage. You can say baseball, but I think they'll call that bluff. There's no way that's going to happen. So I just don't see any situation where you would move on from a guy like that. I just don't see it happening. He's going to be their quarterback.
Well, as always, I guess you're right. Look to the gram. All of his pictures are apparently back on his Instagram. So
really?
Yes. He archived them. He didn't delete. He archived them. Or there's some unfortunate K1 intern who had to throw them all back on there. They're back.
By the way, what level of player do you have to be that people would notice that, by the way? Like, where's the cutoff line? Like, you're just kind of like a number two tight end for the team, and you scrub all the mentions of the team, and you go like 2 weeks, like, man, nobody even picked up on that.
Yeah,
nobody,
unfortunately, every New York Jet has gotten off of Instagram, and we haven't noticed it. You know what I mean?
There you go.
So what are you saying? Is it pretty... thanks for the call, Daniel. You're the best, brother. Thanks again.
See you, buddy.
Everyone, check out the Move the Sticks podcast. Certainly coming off of the combine, he and Bucky Brooks doing that today, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fun stuff. We're going to take a break. Come back. I've got one more thing from the combine we didn't hit yesterday, and it reveals something about myself. And I hope you don't take it personally here.
Whoa. Who's you? Like
you, and you, the three of you.
Oh,
are we getting fired again?
Oh man,
TJ. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. I'm just.
Wow. TJ's got PTSD.
Yeah, I'm fine. Shook, bro. Okay. I'm shook. Like Mobb Deep.
No, you're not.
Okay.
When you say that, it makes it sound like I did it. I didn't.
Yeah. You didn't. Yeah, you saved me. You
know. Yeah, exactly.
Quite the opposite.
Wow. You bring me life.
Well, that's next. Before then, though, Mercedes-Benz Vans wants you to think about your dream again, because it is time for you and your dream to get back together. We're assuming that it's been a while since you've thought about it. And you could live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You can go travel this wonderful country of ours. You can go visit family and friends. You can go on a vacation. You can tap out of society, or you could start your own business. That might be the most important thing for you to think about, because it's really whatever you dream up. It's a Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about, folks. You can expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. You can expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like a dream. So what do you say? Head to your Mercedes-Benz van dealership nearest you and get that Sprinter. Tell them your dream sent you. 844-204-RICH as well. We'll take your calls coming up. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep, because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So one of the things about this combine that that I think is lasting is the Georgia Bulldogs and how they looked. Unbelievable. Unreal performance. And Wyatt and Davis, the law firm of Wyatt, I guess, what is it? Walker, Wyatt and Davis, right?
Pretty good.
The defensive line group. So Wyatt and Davis work out in the defensive tackle group. They used to mix the defensive tackles and defensive ends together.
Okay.
And it was not very good, because you'd have one guy run like a deer and the other guy some big dude huffing and puffing. And then when they get out there on the on-field drills, one guy would look stupendous because it's an agility drill and the other guy wouldn't. And one other guy wouldn't look so great and the other guy would, because it was more of a strength drill. So they separated the tackles from the defensive line. So the two defensive tackles for the Bulldogs are in the first group that go through the 40s and then the on-field drills, and then they're done. Those, when you're done with the on-field drills, sometimes you might have to go do your broad jumps and your vertical leaps. Mm-hmm. The group that comes next does the vertical leaps and the broad jumps first. Then they do their on-field drills and they're done. So the defensive tackles did their 40s on-field drills, then did their broad jumps and vertical leaps. And then once you're done with that, you're out. You go back to the hotel or the airport, depending on the time of day. See ya, out.
Legitimately out.
But Wyatt and Davis waited for Trayvon Walker. Waited for them, sat there for well over an hour waiting for Walker to finish. Because as Jordan Davis told Stacy Dales, who was on the sideline there, that the Georgia Bulldogs are nicknamed themselves the no-name defense. That one guy's not bigger, that they're one big team, they're one big family. And they were waiting. They waited for him on their phones. Just chill out. Show that photo. That's the screen grab again. This is what we kept showing, kept going to them. Over an hour. Look at them.
They're just chilling.
Chilling on the ground. Jordan Davis on the ground, hanging out, waiting for their teammate. And all I could think of was this. I wouldn't do that. For you guys. Or anybody.
That's a shame.
Honestly, 10 minutes, tops. Tops. I'm out. Well, honestly.
But you wouldn't do this now or if we were all 21 years old?
Now. I guess maybe now. Yeah. I couldn't put myself as a 21-year-old. Honestly, I got things to do. I got places to go.
But they don't
not
have
there.
Any,
I worked my ass off for all this time. But back to the hotel? Go, you know.
And what, eat a pizza?
Eat a pizza, order something out, lie down, take a, get to sleep. Go, you know,
like
go straight. Go see what's on Peacock. I don't know.
What year did you graduate, Rich? Michigan?
1990.
Oh, let me see something.
Here we go.
I don't know where he's going with this.
Number one movie.
But honestly, I even said it on the air, showing this. I told this to DJ. And also, same thing applies to if we're traveling together. If I don't check a bag and you check a bag, out. I'm not waiting for you.
Okay, this was a hot debate on Twitter
not
the other day.
Not waiting for you.
Okay, let's say.
Not waiting for you.
Let's say you're going to the airport with your partner, right? You have TSA pre-clear, all the good stuff.
Oh, this is
they
good.
They don't.
This is
do
good.
You wait in the plea blind with them or just be like, all right, I'll see you on the other side?
Well, hold on a second. Are we married?
You are significantly involved with each other.
Are we married?
Yeah, that's a qualification.
I don't know. Sure.
Well, of course then I'm waiting.
Yeah, you're waiting. If not, see ya!
Why?
That's why I'm divorced.
What do you mean? This is it. Are you serious? Like, I've got to go home with this person.
But, like...
Yeah, there's a... Then
what, so what does that mean? That I'm now... We're... The plane is the plane. Like we both got to get on it.
Yeah.
See.
You gotta wait.
Now, I'm getting on the plane right away. That I'm doing. I don't have to get through security right away. I'm getting through the plane right away.
I don't know. This was on Twitter yesterday.
Oh no! Yes, you wait for your significant other through security.
Like I would be like, are you kidding me?
Like what? Like so what? One. So you could go get, you know, go get a coffee? Go get a Sbarro? Go
get a slice
from Sbarro? I'll buy your Auntie Anne's pretzel for you. I'll have it waiting for you. Once you take your belt and your shoes off.
I'll warm the Cinnabon for you.
Right. I got to go to Hudson News and get the overpriced Smart Water.
Oh, my God.
Bags of peanuts.
By the way, the Smart Water corner of the market on all airports. Everybody get, I mean, wow.
So, Rich, the reason I asked about the graduation.
We're all getting a little far, you know, off subject here. I'm not waiting for you.
The reason I asked about the graduation year, so you're at the combine, you're Rich Eisen, and you're with Desmond Howard, Elvis Gerbach, Derek Alexander, Jared Bunch, who else do I remember? Trip Wellborn.
Okay.
And you're telling me you're all working out, and now Desmond...
Did they all make the combine back in the day, or you just give me the stars of the game?
I'm giving you people that I know. I'm pretty sure they all made the
combine. What am I doing?
So it's like if you and Elvis and Desmond, and you got to wait an hour for your Heisman Trophy winner, Desmond Howard, you wouldn't do it?
No.
You're out.
I'll see you back at the hotel. I got places to go. I got things to do. I'm tired. I need to go lie down.
You don't want nobody in Indy.
What do you mean waiting around for an hour and 15 minutes?
It's Desmond Howard. Think about the joy that man brought to you.
As a matter of fact, you know what I would do? If they were waiting for me,
you tell them to leave?
Say, go. You're making me a little bit antsy.
Did you see Jordan Davis?
I don't want to make you wait. I don't want to make you wait. You can go. You don't need. It's just like when Larry David was here and we asked him about when the food hits the table, do you ask for permission to eat or what do you do? He says, if my food comes second, I'll tell the other person, eat. I don't want to sit here and watch you just sit over your food. You're making me nervous. Get out. Go back to the hotel.
I
don't
like
need you. Thank you.
I want you to stay.
Bless you. I love you. Got no name defense. Great. Go. Great. Love you guys. I'll see you back at the hotel. Please don't wait for me. On the other hand, I'm out. Love you. Are you done in 10 minutes? If so, I'll wait. 15, 20, an hour? An hour? An hour?
Jared Bunch is
sitting
probably
around here? What am I doing here?
Brockman, Jared Bunch is worried there's a bunch of Ohio State Buckeyes. They still haven't worked out. They don't want to leave him by himself with a bunch of Buckeyes.
I could go back to the hotel. I could shower. I could change. I can sit around whatever I want to sit around in. I got to actually act like a person here. I'm on television. Sitting on a bench on the ground.
Waiting for your boys. It's a once-in-a-lifetime moment, Rich.
I am out.
Man. Now, no,
that's all. Honestly, but that's a window into my psyche. That's all I could think of.
Pre-cell phone, I would have agreed. But
as opposed to being, you know, like, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that great? These guys have teamwork. These Georgia Bulldogs are tight. This is why they won the national championship.
They're willing
to wait an hour for each other. Really? Not me. We can still win championships.
What's an hour?
What's an hour?
You're going to go home and scroll your phone anyway. You can scroll your phone waiting for your friend to finish.
If Joe Manganiello wasn't here at 11:37 Pacific time in the third hour, maybe completely oblivious to this conversation,
you would leave the show?
I'd set an alarm right now. And so you could know how long the hour actually was. An hour. And I know you could just look at Twitter. You could look at videos. You could do whatever you want on your phone.
By quick, Rich.
Dude, it was kind of well over an hour, too. It was a long time. And by the way, at security, I'll wait. Certainly, if it's Susie, my kids, my wife, I'm going through security. I've got better status.
What if it's like Scott, your brother-in-law?
Oh, see ya.
Come on. Go leave Scott Schuster in the airport.
He should understand it.
But you're traveling together.
He should understand it. Any friend. You? Would you do that for me? Hold on. Stop. Would you do that for me? I know the answer. You be honest. I know the answer. Hey, Chris, I don't know what happened. TSA pre. I don't have it. You do. We're on the same plane. We're on the same plane.
This is not fair, though. Because,
why is this not fair?
Because can I answer for
Chris? You have travel shamed me so often in the past.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
I would leave you so quickly in the dust.
I've made my bed. Yes, is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie in it.
By the way, I have a story, and Rich is going to deny this, but I was in group one once.
You can put your hands down.
He was not in group one. I brought him up with me.
That's a different story.
But that was out of the kindness of my heart.
I do that for you. I do that for anybody.
I'm the guy that waits.
Yeah, it's a different story. You're talking about
security. Like, this is
security. This is like stultifying moments of boredom, like, and pain.
It's the worst.
And you're watching people who don't go through it, and they're not ready with their IDs.
Like, oh, please.
Like, don't you know you have to take your shoes off by now? Like, what are you doing?
What's the matter? Is this your first time
out
of the house?
First time on an airplane?
Come on.
I mean, I'm a waiting guy.
He's not answered.
No, but he's
going. Would you do it for me? Yeah. Remove the seat shaming. Remove the decade plus of seat shaming.
Probably not. I mean, you know what? Here's the deal with Brockman, though. And as for as much as you want to say about Brockman, he and I have traveled together a lot pre 2020.
You've been stuck in.
He's actually a good travel partner. I will say that. Like he has like you're on Delta, right, Chris? So you have priority on Delta. Is that what it was?
I got priority.
He takes the
so it's like he will like make sure I come on with him when the group A gets called. He'll always take me in.
Okay.
So he's pretty good to travel.
I do believe that.
He'll grab my phone when I'm having a meltdown in an airport, saying I just want to come home. He'll grab my phone and rebook me on another flight and get me to where I need to go. He's done that.
Just to shoot you straight, just to put a button on this, just to shoot you everybody straight, I will always be honest here, no matter how difficult it is to say these things. Mike, I would tell you, you go through security without me, because traveling with you, you talk my ear off, man. And standing on, knowing that I'm going to be on a plane with you and an extra hour of security. Just go.
By the way.
Go. And just to show you how that's honest and how much I love you, I now choose this moment to give you your freaking $50 worth of coffee.
Hey! Look at this coffee.
A long-awaited Kona coffee delivery.
Rich. How small is this?
It's 8 ounces. It's Rich. Very small.
Oh. By the way, this is amazing coffee. Thank you, Rich.
Also, I have $50. I have a slight bone to pick on the Price is Right situation.
All right, we'll take a break and eat that bone. Uh-oh. But I'll tell you, if I had to go back into an airport or do something longer, stay in an airport longer, would never have bought you that coffee. Ever. waiting around for a friend is a very tall order to ask. And I understand these Georgia Bulldogs are tight, but I'll tell you what, not me. 10 minutes, tops 15, maybe. These guys stuck around for over an hour.
Salt of the earth.
Just to tell what, Trayvon Walker, great job. Let's walk back to the hotel together. Come on.
Maybe Trayvon had the mill money or something.
That's crazy talk.
That's teamwork.
Maybe he had their mill money, their stipend for the day. You know,
there may be no I. Excuse me. There may be no I in team, but there is an I in weight. Not me. I knew this would be good to talk about. Take a break. Your phone calls 844-204-RICH.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, is reporting, and Adam Schefter is also reporting. This is happening, folks, and I am so sorry for the 12s, but Russell Wilson is going to be a Denver Bronco. Massive haul, says Tom Pelissero, including multiple first-round picks plus additional picks and players per sources. Russell Wilson will now have two games against Patrick Mahomes per year. Russell Wilson will come to SoFi Stadium once a year, not to play the Rams, but to play the Chargers. And Russell Wilson will be playing against the Las Vegas Raiders twice a year because he's coming to the AFC West. He's coming to the AFC. And the Broncos have made a big-time gambit. Seattle, I don't know what they will do. They now have an opportunity, I would say, to draft whoever they want. That may not be the case this year. Pete Carroll, at age 70, will, in fact, and I'm sorry, I know he doesn't want to keep having his age mentioned, but it is a rebuild in Seattle. And everything that we were saying at the end of the year last year, that it just had the feeling of it's just not working out anymore. It's just not a fit anymore. Has now been confirmed. And for John Schneider, this is the way out of no first round pick because it belongs to the Jets because of Jamal Adams, a safety that is a culture changer and a dynamite guy that Carroll knows how to use in terms of moving him around and having him rush the passer. But in terms of covering the pass, that's not really your guy at the position. And you trade first round picks for him, you know, and you got him and Bobby Wagner and then some other young kids that you're hoping comes up. Who's going to play quarterback there? What's next for there? Because it's not Geno Smith, folks. That's for sure.
Right now, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant are all probably on a group chat.
Well,
right
as you said moments ago,
that
Jerry Judy's tweet after the Rodgers news that he was returning to Green Bay was like a frown. That's now turned upside down.
Wow, that's huge.
And then here's my first blush reaction to this. There's Jerry. Oh, there it is.
Hey!
There it is.
He also just tweeted,
that's funny.
Oh, we lit with the fire emoji after it.
So. I mean.
Okay, folks.
There it is.
Denver Broncos football. Nathaniel Hackett, come on down.
All right, new tweet. Who
you
is?
Know,
oh, and Tim Patrick.
NFC
I forgot
West.
About him.
Yes, I know that. And wherever Vic Fangio is, he's probably like, really? Now?
AFC West.
Now?
Oh,
really?
Right.
Now?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I could have coordinated the defense and handed off that offense to whoever you wanted, you know, with Russ. But I got, you know, Chargers. Teddy Bridgewater, and I got Drew Locke, and I got...
whoever was the year before that.
Fill in the blank.
That's an interesting thought you just had there, Rich, because he probably is like, wow.
Wherever he is, like, really now? And then we do need to say this.
Javonte Williams?
Man. You know, we do need to say this. It's a very deep end of the pool in the NFC West.
AFC West.
In the NFC West.
Oh, both. Yeah.
Well, both.
And Seattle is in a full-on rebuild now. One would think unless they have another maneuver they can make for a quarterback that would have this team back in the mix right now. But in terms of winning the Super Bowl, in terms of going to Arizona, which, as you know, was a spot where Russell Wilson was terrific for this team. I could think of a couple of games that he had in Arizona for this team, including a Thursday night game. I will never forget this. It was a Thursday night game. I think it was right before my daughter was born. So I remember being there in 2013. And I remember being there, and the 12s just went nuts for this guy. Nuts for this guy. Where we were in the green room. We were in the green room underneath the stadium watching the game on a delay for about 2 seconds. And when you heard a cheer from the fans, you know, in the stadium, because we were just down a hallway off the field. When you heard a cheer, you knew the play that was about to result on television was going to be a good play for the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. You knew when the stadium shook, it was going to be a good play for the Seattle Seahawks. Because the 12s traveled, and the 12s hit it. And yes, the Legion of Boom was a big reason why the 12s traveled. But so was this guy. And we also know the last Super Bowl that was played in that building was when Russell Wilson threw the ball and did not hand it off to Marshawn Lynch. And they never got back to being in that spot and being that good. They had a dynasty building and could have gone back to back. We could be sitting here saying the Seahawks were the last team to go back to back, and Russ is the last quarterback to do it, not Tom Brady in the aughts. And this is now over. And Seattle goes back to, as they currently are right now, to the team before Russell Wilson got drafted. When we had Pete Carroll on a Thursday night set after a game where they beat Andy Reid's Philadelphia Eagles. I think it was the Dream Team Eagles. Remember that? That they were terrible after the 2011 lockout when we thought they were going to be the Dream Team, and they weren't.
Awesome one.
And they were terrible. And Seattle won the game, and we had Pete Carroll on the set because there was nobody else outside of Marshawn Lynch who wanted no piece of it, even though they were throwing Skittles at the set. We didn't know who to ask because there was nobody on the team that was a star or a big name. We asked for the coach because he was the star coach that had just come from USC. And I remember asking him, what's the identity of the team? Which is something you have not asked of Pete Carroll or the Seahawks in well over a decade. Yeah. They're kind of back to that right now, but that is a gutsy move for Seattle because I'm sure this hall is going to be insane when we hear it. But congrats to Denver and for the 12s. An era is over. Hour 3 coming up.